Today, we have two secret,
not so secret,
agents coming in remotely from over the pond.
Over the sea.
You're really trying to make that work.
Yeah, for sure. It's James Bond meets Little Mermaid.
From the Brain and Spine Foundation, CEO Mark Smith and Grace Patient, and their mission, which they choose to accept, is to help all brain injury survivors get the support and advocacy they need.
I like that. Boom! Intro done. Hi, I'm Joe.
And I'm Lauren.
And we are
the Neuro Nerds. Yes, that was on time.
I feel pretty good about that. Welcome to the Neuro Nerds. I say it every single week. I mean it. Every single week. This is a very special episode. Why? Because we've never done something like this. This is a multiple person episode.
Remote episode.
So I have with me in studio, she lives with me, my significantly better half, Felice Lizay, right over here.
Hello.
And then on the computer, which you guys can't see, we have two special guests from the Brain and Spine Foundation. We have Mark Smith and Grace Patient. What's up, guys?
Hello. Hi there. Good to see you, Joe. Hi, Felice.
Thanks for having us on.
Hi. How are you doing?
Oh, of course. Thank you guys for dealing with a little bit of the electronic headache that we had a second ago. But now we're here. This is amazing stuff. This is so cool. I'm really honored to have you guys on the show because I love what you guys do for our community. I say our, even though you guys haven't had brain injuries. Wait, you guys haven't had brain injuries, have you?
No, I'm glad
to say no.
Good. I'm happy because we need in the community, we need more of you and less of me. Less people with brain injuries, more people to help people with brain injuries. So I'm very thankful that you guys can be here. And I'm so happy for what you guys do at the Brain and Found, the Brain and Spine Foundation. That being said, would you guys like to tell us a little bit about the Brain and Spine Foundation?
I will. It'll be a pleasure. So the Brain and Spine Foundation is a charity here in the UK, and we were set up 29 years ago by a prominent neurosurgeon, a guy called Peter Hamlin, who trained in London. And he realized that he was doing his thing on the operating table and putting his patients, his people, out into the system where they just needed a lot of help in terms of managing their condition and recovering from the operations. So he set up the Brain and Spine Foundation, with help from Professor Sid Watkins, a prominent neurosurgeon, neuroscientist. And 29 years later, I'm glad to say that we're doing the same thing, which is providing expert support for people who are affected by conditions. And we do that through a helpline staffed by neuroscience nurses and by providing accessible information. So we try and avoid the medico-speak and we try and translate it into stuff that people understand.
And that's much appreciated. It really is. Because, I mean, we can definitely read about this stuff. It's a lot easier when it's kind of broken down by people like you. And I just love the work that you guys do. And you're the CEO, correct?
Yeah, that's right. It's been my pleasure to be here at the Brain and Spine for coming up for 2.5 years. I've got a great team of guys around me. Who they basically do all the hard work, and one of those special people is Grace, who looks after our events and our community.
I agree with that. Grace is amazing. What's up, Grace?
Thank you. Hi, thanks.
So, how are you affiliated with the Brain and Fans and Spine Foundation, Grace?
So I joined almost 2 years ago now. So it'll be 2 years in September. My grandma had a stroke, and agreeing with Mark, there wasn't that much kind of care afterwards and kind of understanding around what to do to help. And I feel like if my family had known about the Brain and Spine Foundation, it would have been a lot easier to kind of cope with the after effects.
Right. How long have you been working with the foundation?
Almost 2 years.
2 years.
And yeah, I look after the community and events.
Yeah, and I appreciate that a lot. You guys are like really close to being there around the same time.
Absolutely. Yeah. Grace was one of my first and most successful hires.
good. That's thank awesome. You so I really appreciate what you guys do, because look, even though you guys are in the UK, brain injury is a brain injury is a brain injury. It doesn't matter where you're at. It doesn't matter where you're from. We all suffer the same stuff. And now that we're even having this conversation, tech is to the point where we're all in this no matter where we are. It's just like one world, one family. So I super appreciate what you guys do. And I'm just honored to be able to be a part of this.
Yes, as an ambassador.
Yeah. Ooh. And I don't have an accent. I don't have an accent. They have an accent.
I think the really cool thing we've been talking about when we first all met to prepare for this podcast is that we can kind of bridge the gap and help each other with sharing advocacy and how, you know, we do it in the United States and how you do it in the UK and how we can possibly, you know, learn from each other, because there's so much to learn. It's so important. We, you know, for Joe, let me toot my own horn. Without me, Joe would have been lost through this whole stroke recovery process.
Yeah, I'd be in a ditch somewhere, I'm pretty sure.
No, but seriously, like it's really important, and it breaks our heart when we hear about people that don't have the kind of support that Joe had and don't have the kind of support that people who get help through your programs get as well. So what are some of the programs that you are developing or have in action right now to help stroke and brain injury survivors?
And actually, just building on what you've said there, Felice, and Joe before, I think our observation is that guys who are affected by a neurological condition actually have a lot more in common than they do differently. A neuro consultant over here once described it, said, hey, listen, it's a problem with the brain. It's where the hardware or the software goes wrong. But other than that, so there are some specifics which are very pertinent and germane. But actually, either the symptoms or some of the signs are very common. And that's where sort of it's to get a big community together, be you suffering from a stroke or a brain tumor or MS, actually there's a lot more in common that people can share and support each other. So that's one of our founding principles, and we're I suppose fortunate. We're one of only two organizations in the UK who are pan-neuro. So we're condition agnostic. And there are some brilliant organizations over here that look after conditions like, you know, Parkinson's or MS or Alzheimer's, but and the Stroke Association. But I suppose we try and position ourselves as that first port of call. You know, if someone needs some help and they're not too sure where else to go, then the brain, a bit like the Ghostbusters, you know who to call. you come to us. Because I'm sure, well, Felice, Joe, you know, maybe your experience was when you first had your event. You know, where do you turn to? Who do you go to for advice?
I had no idea. To be honest, my first year of recovery, it's kind of a blur. I don't have much memory. A lot of it is secondhand information. I didn't know what a stroke was until I had a stroke. So that's one of the biggest problems there. There's not enough information. To be honest, all the information here in the States, I don't know how it is in the UK, every pamphlet, every video, 90 some odd percent of them, it's older Caucasian people. So, and even in my group of friends, when we were talking about, oh, I had a stroke and, oh, how'd you have a stroke? A few of them were like, wait, I didn't know that you could have a stroke. First off, because you're young. Secondly, because I thought it's something that just happened to old Caucasian people, which is, it's not an ignorant thought. It's because that's what we have been fed since we were kids. Stroke is this. It's an older Caucasian ailment, as opposed to like things like, let's say, diabetes or high blood pressure. Yeah. That's more of an ethnic thing with older, you know,
people of color.
Right. So we need to change that stigma. We need to get the information out there. That's why I make it a point as often as I can to scream from the roof. Like, I kind of feel like a fear monger sometimes because I'm like, anybody can have a stroke. Yeah. The reality is, if you go anywhere, you go to a mall, you go to a theater, you just go outside, every single person you see, that person has a chance of having a stroke. It doesn't matter the age. It doesn't matter the ethnic background. I don't think people still understand that, because I can't tell you how many people I get weekly that are like, wait, how did you have a stroke? Yeah. Like, how? It's like, well,
it's that sort of awareness, isn't it? It's important to get that awareness out there.
Exactly.
Yeah. For me, when he had his stroke, in terms of figuring out what to do, I know that I'm very unusual in that I was raised by a mother who was really into health and medicine and alternative remedies and treatments and things like that. So I was very aware. And very resourceful. And I have like a folder that's like this thick. I mean, I'm not even kidding. And I'm saying it, I'm realizing this is audio. It's very thick. It's a very thick folder of just all kinds of things regarding, you know, his care and just making sure that he went from, you know, getting his care post-stroke and then going into inpatient or in hospital or what is it called?
Inpatient and then outpatient
therapy. And so it was a whole process that I knew nothing about and just was very persistent in asking the caseworkers at the hospital about what to do, you know, what to do next and all those things. But a lot of people don't do that. And a lot of people get intimidated. There were times when I fell on the floor and was crying when he got accepted into his inpatient therapy, because that was a big deal. Insurance, he needed that in order to qualify to get outpatient. And so it was like a whole process that most people don't even realize or know about, or why would they know about it? And really, I was just persistent and inquisitive and asked a lot of questions. But there really does need to be better guidance for people, because even like when he had his stroke, I didn't realize it was a stroke either, because I didn't know that any bleed in the brain is a stroke. And so they just gave me the medical like explanation of what it was. They're like, there's a bleed, he's hemorrhaging, this and that and that. And I'm going, oh my gosh. And I'm explaining to everybody, Joe's in the hospital, he has a bleed in his brain and blah, 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 and giving all the explanation. And then later, a day later, it turned out, yeah, they're like, he had a stroke. I'm like, oh, that's a stroke. I was so distraught and caught up with trying to get him, you know, saved, that I didn't even have time to go and Google and research, what does this mean that he has a, you know? And actually the nurse told us, you know, actually it's a stroke. She's like, that was a mistake. They were supposed to give you a pamphlet, like, and tell you right away, this is what happened, but they didn't.
That's what the Brain is Fine Foundation is good at doing, is kind of cutting through the jargon and just making those sort of medical terms simple through the booklets, as well as when people call the nurses on the helpline.
All right, so you guys put out your own information pamphlets?
Yes.
That's what we do against conditions and general things of interest.
All right, question. In those pamphlets, are they all older Caucasian people?
Well, actually, we try and avoid depicting people. We just have close-ups of brains.
Yes, no people in the booklets.
That's good. You know what? I appreciate that. That's significantly better.
That's a big problem, out here at least.
Yeah. But Joe, I'm gonna just come back on that mm-hmm. observation and that comment, because it's exactly the same here in the UK. I mean, and the trouble is that a neurological condition, completely indiscriminate, it'll go for age, sex, gender. It really doesn't matter. And I know that we spoke about the numbers here in the UK, but one in six people have a condition of some sort or another, and in the UK that's 13 million people. And it cuts all across age, gender, race. So, it's a big problem. The challenge here is, like in the States, it's ubiquitous but invisible. People don't realize how prominent it is.
Right. It's difficult, especially for people like me afterwards, because it's not just the information. It's the care afterwards. And the fact that it's a blessing and it's a curse that I'm doing the quote fingers. I look so normal. So people don't understand what comes with a brain injury, the aftermath. People don't understand overstimulation, brain fog, neuro fatigue. Nobody understands these things. Like, I can explain it as best I can, but unless you've been through it, you just don't understand. So I also try to advocate for normies. That's what I call people without brain injuries. So literally, I'm having a conversation with three normies. So just to try to understand what we go through, because on paper, you had a stroke and this is what this is. But the reality of living post brain injury, it's a lot. It's not something that anyone can understand unless they've been through it. So
thank you to our amazing community on Patreon for supporting this podcast.
You can support us too and get different perks and gifts depending on which Neuro Jedi tier you sign up for. For example, if you're on our Neuro Padawan $5 tier, then you're probably listening to this episode a day early before its public release.
Your support helps us grow and continue to create this podcast. Plus, a portion of the proceeds go to a different cause or individual in the brain injury survivor community each month. Sign up at patreon.com/theneuronerds.
I also want to advocate just to try to get everybody to understand it's not just because I'm home doesn't mean I'm better. Just because I look good does not mean that I am good. So it's this whole thing is wild. There's just a lot of information that I think we need to get out there as best we can. I want to scream from the rooftops. That would be a little weird, but I want something that I think I want to do.
Do it.
Maybe I'll get a newspaper somewhere.
Again, it's a really strong, good point. We've got things like bumper stickers which say that, you know, not all disabilities are visible. And we hand them around willy-nilly just to be able to say, you know, just you know, it's not all about appearances. Also, you know, sort of one of the things that we're doing more of now is this peer-to-peer support, because no one knows what it's like unless you've been through it. And we find that, you know, the PLU, talking to people like you, is really, you know, aha, you get it too. That's a really important part of the, you know, the acceptance and feeling less isolated. And I think that's a really important service that we try and provide or moderate. That's what we try and do here at the Brain and Spine.
I think that's incredible. And it's invaluable. It really is. The one thing that I tell everybody post-brain injury is find somebody. Find somebody who's been through it that understands, because there's something about speaking to someone who's been through it, not somebody who can sympathize and feel bad for what's going on. Somebody who can be in your shoes and say, oh no, I understand that. I get it. I didn't feel like I was truly gonna be able to live life. I knew I was gonna, I was here. I survived, but I was just existing. I was just here. I wasn't truly living because nobody really understood. I mean, Felice was there every step of the way and has been incredible, but she couldn't understand. It wasn't until I connected with other brain injury survivors where I was like, oh, I'm going to be able to do this. So I think that kind of understanding and those groups are so important. I have a thing because I'm a weird person. every single day, since February of 3 years ago, it's going on 4 years now, I reach out to a new survivor. I'm like an annoying cold caller. You know, like I just ran into people. I'll search people because I'm a creeper.
And I'm here to help.
I'll hit people up and I'm like, hey, and I explain my story. I see you're a stroke survivor. I just wanted to reach out, connect, and build community. And I've done that every single day for going on 4 years now because I feel it's so important. Some people don't really want to connect because they're not there yet. And other people, I've made some of the closest friends I have through doing that. So I really think that a lot more energy and focus needs to go in, you're right, peer-to-peer interactions, because it's so important. It truly is.
Yeah, I think that's my kind of favorite part of the job, is seeing those sort of connections that are made, especially as Mark mentioned, through this peer support. And I also manage ambassadors, which of course, Joe, you're one of them. And is bringing loads of different people together, and people that have different experiences of brain injuries, and just all of them kind of helping and going off tangent here, but
go off.
Yeah, no, just all of them kind of sharing their experiences and connecting with each other, and then raising awareness for the charity, which is amazing.
Absolutely. I can't stress it enough. The community needs more of you guys and less of me. It really does. Mm-hmm. And the more we get together, the more we have these conversations, the more we as brain injury survivors talk to normies like you guys, you know, I think it bridges the gap. We also need to get doctors involved, because, you know, there are doctors who look and they're reading out of a book. This is what this is. And you're telling them, hey, this is how I'm feeling. They're like, yeah, but you shouldn't be feeling that way. He's like, yeah, well, the reality is I do. So what are we doing? Like, we need to figure out better care, better understanding. Not just, look, it's a bigger picture too. It's not just for us brain injury survivor. It's for the friends, the family. It's for the significant others, the caregivers, you know? And there's so much support that needs to go around. There's so much understanding that needs to happen. And I'm just thankful that you guys are putting in the effort. And I want to be here to help as best I can.
Yeah. I know that for us, we're finding different places to engage and connect. I mean, that's really what this the creation of this whole podcast was about, was helping find community and find, and specifically with the neuro nerds, finding community that is a little nerdy as well, but like have similar interests. But, you know, because even like kids that like the podcast, their parents listen to the podcast because, you know, we'll talk about Marvel and things like that. And that's, and bridge the gap between that and brain injury. We'll talk about Marvel characters have brain injury or something like that. But we're finding different places to now connect to, like Joe's doing a weekly room on Clubhouse where survivors come together and talk. That's been really, really beneficial. We have like a Facebook group where people can connect as well called You Still Rock. Where are the different places that people can connect through the Brain and Spine Foundation?
Well, do you know, we have Facebook groups for two specialist conditions, Chiari malformations and subarachnoid hemorrhages, which are rare, but, you know.
But there's a community out there that needs support, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah, no. Absolutely. The other program which we've started just last year and this is something called Neurosocial. So effectively, we thought we would try and do that in the physical space, in a cafe or some sort of a gathering place where people with conditions could come and offer peer support, moderated by an expert or a guest speaker. But unfortunately, this thing called COVID has restricted our opportunities. So we switched it online, and it's been great because the community is still small. It's about 60 people, but it's really been sort of well managed, and it's been thought about. And those guys are sort of engaged. So they meet once a week in smaller groups, and they just talk about topics and things which are of general interest. So that's really good, Neurosocial.
I love that.
Another interesting thing that we're doing at the moment, led by one of our specialist counselors called My Creative Life. So it's about joining sort of art therapy and combining that with experience and expression, which I know you guys are really creative and artistic. So yes. maybe that's something you've tried already.
Yeah, no, that's really great. I think that, you know, despite the fact that COVID has kind of derailed some plans of like in-person interactions, it's really great that there are platforms like Neurosocial where you can connect virtually, because what we found with the podcast is that, you know, distance doesn't really matter in terms of connection and support, because, I mean, obviously it's great to have in-person support groups, but in terms of just getting to talk to different people, Joe, I mean, has connected with so many people all over the world. And so I'm really glad that, you know, you all are doing this also virtually so that people can benefit, that can connect from different parts of the world. Because sometimes there may be somebody who you're in the UK and there's somebody in Australia that really gets you. Really, you know.
It's also accessible as well. You don't have to go somewhere. You can just do it from the comfort of your own home. I know that some people have given quite positive feedback about that.
Oh, absolutely. There's a lot of us who have a lot of physical deficits, and it's not easy for them to get from point A to point B. So doing something online is perfect. It's perfect. There are some people in the community who a lot of stimulation they just can't handle. So just something audio, like, even the Clubhouse rooms are perfect for some people in the community because there's no visuals to throw them off, which is, there's just so many opportunities for people to connect. And I can say my first year of recovery was so isolating and lonely, even though I had people around me. Like, I can't stress that. I had a lot of people around me, but nobody truly understood. So the fact that you have these platforms for people to connect, it's so important. It really is. And you say, well, you know, you wanted to do in person and it's just online. Online is perfect. It really is. Some of my closest friends, like I truly feel that they're extended family to me. I've never met them. I've never met them in person. You know, my friend Bryony, who lives in Yorkshire in the UK, you know, my friend Rianne in the Netherlands, my friend Noreen in Australia, my friend Delphine in Singapore, like people all over the world. Some of my closest friends,
I've never met these people, you know? Mm-hmm. It doesn't change the fact that if I'm having a day, if I'm having just one of those moments, I can reach out to them at any second and feel better about it, you know? It's just like calling a family member. It's just like calling, you know, your roommate, a friend. It's the exact same thing because of that connection and that understanding that nobody else has except for us. And I just love the fact that you guys have these platforms for these people. You also said that the two brain injuries, that they're not very common. It's funny that you say that, the subarachnoid hemorrhage and what was Chiari malformation. It's so funny you say that because in my head I was like, wait, is that uncommon? I know so many people that have those. Like so many. It's crazy. Like even in my head right now, I'm like, okay, 7, 8, it's a lot. It's just, I guess, because it's my community and I talk to so many people. I was like, you guys, you see it as like, oh, it's not very common. To me, it's like, it's very common.
It's one of those things where being niche is sometimes, not sometimes, a lot, most of the time, it's just super beneficial because there's some people that really need that very specific support because it's very specific what they're going through.
Yeah.
There may be like overlap between, you know, certain symptoms and things like that, but it's just nice to be able to connect with people that really understand
Absolutely. Well, they it's interesting, isn't it? So there are some more common or more prevalent conditions, and people sort of get to know about those, dementia or Parkinson's or MS. But actually, one of the most common neurological problems in the UK is migraine. And, you know, people who don't know say, migraine, okay, that's a headache. No, it isn't. It's something which is really, really significant. It affects 5 million plus people in the UK. And, you know, a migraine cluster headache can put you in a dark room for many days. Yes. It's there's a lot of pain and frustration that goes on with that.
It's funny that you mention it. Well, also the way that you say it's the subtleties in the language. We say migraine.
I think I say migraine as well, to be honest.
You say migraine, but
I say migraine.
I've heard British.
Yeah, it's like tomato, tomato. Potato.
Aluminium.
Aluminium. That's my favorite. Aluminum, aluminium. It's like
aluminum.
I think I grew up watching a lot of American TV. So.
Oh, there it is. it's a weird thing. I suffered insane migraines most of my adult life, and I just assumed, because I never went to the doctor. I grew up poor. We just didn't go to the doctor. We just dealt with it, or it got so bad we went to the emergency room. It was just a horrible way to live. My whole family, we all suffered migraines. So at a certain point, I was like, oh, this is just my turn. I have migraines now. That's what that is. Now, when I say like migraines, violent, I'm vomiting in the shower, 16-hour migraines. They were rough. Turns out it was unchecked high blood pressure. That's what's really wild. I suffered the worst migraines, and that's what led into my stroke. It was, again, information I didn't know. I didn't know blood pressure could lead to a stroke. I didn't really know what a stroke was. So the more information that's out there, the better, because just the percentages, 80% of all strokes can be prevented. My stroke 100% should have been prevented. So we have to keep having these conversations, talking and advocating.
And it's about creating.
And Joe, what's your view about sort of, I'm going to say sort of online information per se, because I think some people see a sign or a symptom, they Google, and they just get the worst news possible. It's a disaster straight off.
Yes.
And that's why we try and advocate for, either specialist knowledge or knowledge or information from trusted sources. Because, the guys who know what they're talking about, they'll be honest and transparent, but they won't give you a doomsday scenario straight off.
Yeah, well, I tell people to stay away from Dr. Google, because when you search things, especially you go to WebMD, everything, and I literally mean this, everything ends up being cancer. Everything.
No, I was talking to a service user recently, and I said, what's the best advice you could give someone? Mm-hmm. She said, don't Google your symptoms.
Yes,
that's true.
Well, because you go no matter what, it's human nature.
Go to the Brain and Spine Foundation website.
Yes,
there you go.
Definitely, that's the place to go.
That's it right there. Like, go to trusted sources if you're going to go online. Don't just trust any source online.
Right.
Today's show is brought to you by Audible. Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook with a 30-day trial membership.
Just go to audibletrial.com/theneuronerds and browse their massive selection of audio programs. download a title free and start listening. It's that easy. Go to audibletrial.com/thenarrownerds.
And I think that the other thing is just creating, like what Joe was saying about how growing up, like he didn't grow up with a good relationship to medical authority. Like there was a fear around it. And I think starting, you also creating awareness for children, especially children that may be in marginalized communities or areas where they're not getting as much access to regular doctor visits.
Yes.
Creating a different view of what doctors and hospitals are about, that it's not scary, so that they feel safe in going to the doctor. Because I think that's why a lot of people end up turning to Dr. Google, is because they don't want to go. They just want to go and find out what it is. And if it's nothing, I'm not going to go in. And if it's something, I might still not go in because I'm scared, you know?
It's funny. It's not funny. Mm-hmm. It's actually tragic. I've spoken to several people in our community, and even after the brain injury, they still don't want to go and talk to the doctors because, now this is the rationale, well, I'm afraid they're going to tell me something horrible. Like, okay, well, so you're just going to, number one, you're just going to live in fear, right? And worst case, they tell you something horrible. Now you know, now you can fix it, right? You can get ahead of it. I had that fear. I had that irrational fear. Well, if I go to the doctor, he's going to tell me I'm going to die. I kind of had that in my head. I could have prevented what happened to me, but I lived in fear. So I think the more conversations we have, the more information that's out there, the better. But we also have to normalize correct information. Yeah. There's a lot of misinformation out there. There's so much. We do need trusted sources. So the Brain and Spine Foundation, I direct people there as often as I can, because it's better than going to WebMD and looking up, hey, so I have this blister. Oh yeah, it might be cancer. It's so strange. It's so weird.
You need a trained eye to look at it.
You
because
do.
Because the information may not be totally wrong, but it may not be the right information about what you're going through right now. So yeah.
Right. I'll say a word for our sort of medical colleagues and the clinicians who, generally in the UK, you know, they do a brilliant job. And I think that we try and support them as well by giving information out so that they can distribute it to their people via clinics and once they've done their consultancy. But the truth is that despite its prevalence, neurological conditions are still generally quite rare. So if you go and visit your GP here, they might need some support as well. I think there's a statistic which is that on average it's five visits to a GP before you're properly diagnosed and pointed towards a specialist.
Oh, wow.
And that's no criticism of GPs. It's just an indication of actually the level of knowledge and the number of times that they see cases that should be dealt with by a specialist are quite rare. So we recognise that systemically there's an issue. So we're trying to help by giving education and awareness and you know, providing this information to healthcare professionals as well.
Right. Oh, no, definitely. There are a lot of people in the community, specifically younger survivors, where doctors are like, they bypass all of the symptoms because they're so young. I have the headaches. I had a little bit of a slurred speech. I'm limp. Like one of my sides is a little bit weaker. Yeah, but you're only like 25. So it shouldn't, you know, they're bypassing the fact that like you have three of the what is it? Five symptoms? Wait, fast. Four. Hey, you have three of the four symptoms. And the doctors are just bypassing it. Like, oh, yeah, but it's, you know, you're just so young. It's a bigger picture. It's not just the information for us. It's information for everybody. Just because you're a doctor, just because you're a medical professional does not mean that you don't need to continuously be educated and reminded of these things, you know?
Absolutely. We're doing an interesting thing earlier in the show, Joe. You were talking about how important it is for people with conditions just to speak up and let people know what's going on. At the Brain and Spine this year, we've launched a new program called Neuro Life Now, and it's an app. It's a web-based program for the moment. And what we're doing is we're asking people with conditions to report their experience. A real world experience, as in, you know, how is it for you? And we're asking a set of standard questions over a number of months, and we're using that information to build evidence, which we share with doctors and clinicians, because it's the gap at the moment in the information piece, which is they know how many people go to hospital, the clinicians know the sorts of drugs and treatments they give, But the thing that they haven't understood is, what's it like for you? So that's what we're trying to do for them.
Oh my God, I am, like, honestly, I'm almost a little emotional with the fact that you're doing that, because I understand how important it is for the community. There has to be that, we have to bridge that gap between patient and doctor. We have to, like, we have to. We're not the experts in the medical field. We're not. We are the experts of having brain injuries. We can't be bypassed. The things that happen to us, mm-hmm. they have to be heard. We have to be listened to. And the fact that you're doing that, it's so important. I'm so, oh my God, that's brilliant. I anything that I can do on my end to help this, please allow me to, because I think that's incredible.
Well, you're already doing a good job, but yeah, absolutely. I'll get in touch with you about that. And I think the interesting thing is that in principle, this sort of model could operate in any system. It's about giving the community, the people who are affected, a proper voice. And it's not yes. about individuals, yes. it's about collective experience. Because everybody's experience is very individual, we know. But actually, it's the general experience which is going to be really useful for the medics and the system that need to design yes. and deliver much better care programs.
Yeah. They need to understand what the actual patient is going yes. through so that they can better mm-hmm. provide better care. But we're going to definitely have all of these links, NeuroLife Now, NeuroSocial, all the Facebook groups. We'll put all of that in our show notes for this episode. So anyone listening, they'll be able to find where all of this is, because it's amazing, and we want to make sure everybody can find it and be able to access it.
Yeah, it's just that alone is so important. There has to be, again, that we have to bridge that gap, because we're in this. The doctor doesn't have a patient without us, right? Yeah. And we're not healed without the doctor. It has to be a synergistic relationship. It can't just be like, oh yeah, you know, we have to have better care all the way around. And, you know, I don't know if I mentioned this. One of my primaries early on, literally, shooed me away once. I had a question at the end of like one of our yeah, that's the look that you should have. I was like, yeah, but yeah.
Switch primary.
Yeah, yeah. You remember?
Yeah, we switched doctors.
We switched doctors immediately. But like literally, I'm the one, I have brain injury, so I have questions. And you did literally with your hands shooing me away. That doesn't make me very comfortable. It also doesn't make the person with the brain injury want to ask more questions. Yeah. It's very defeating, you know? So I think it's a bigger picture in care. I had a question. You have these groups for, you know, people like me and specific brain injuries. Is there something that you guys also do for the caregivers?
That's a really great question, Joe. And at the moment, we don't. But it's something that we've identified as being a need. So with NeuroSocial, we've started with the people directly affected, mm-hmm. i.e. those who have the condition. But hey, listen, the next layer is absolutely the caregivers, and that mm-hmm. can be professional caregivers or it can be family members, because they're equally affected. And so that's certainly something that we're trying to address in terms of those peer forums. In fact, if I'm right, Grace, am I right? Is it Caregivers Week next week?
Sometimes. Yeah, I was just about to say yes.
Go for it. Good link. You take
it. It's Carers Week next week. yeah, it's Carers Week next week, and we're going to give a bit of a spotlight to one of our nurses, our helpline nurses, who is a carer herself, and she will be posting an article. So if you check out our website and social medias, she'll be kind of sharing her experience as a carer. And yeah, like Mark said, that's something we want to get more involved with and support.
Yes.
Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah, look, we're one big happy family here. You know, it's we're like one. I say it a lot. Like we're all in this together. We are like we sincerely are. So, you know, we have to start acting like it. Like we're one big brain damaged dysfunctional family over here. And, you know, we have to communicate. We have to help one another. It's not just one person. It's everybody. You guys also have something coming up. I believe it's June 18th, correct?
Yes. Yes. So
I believe it's called You're On Mute. I remembered that.
well done. It's a great title. No, so I look after kind of the community side of the charity, and we've put together this campaign called You're on Mute, which is essentially a sponsored silence. We've had some other companies take part, actually our corporate partners took part recently and raised £1,000. And so You're on Mute is going to be going ahead on the 18th of June. And we're asking people, companies, whoever to take part and kind of block out some of the day. And you could do the whole day and just do a sponsored silence. And it's all about kind of the brain health. So silence is good for the brain. It's also, if it links with companies, it's blocking out your diary, no meetings, and kind of focusing on your work in silence. So that's the, and then raising money as well as we do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I had to do 10 days of vocal rest many years ago, and it was at first kind of like seemed like, wow, how am I going to do this? But being silent for that many days really allowed me to just really just calm down and go, you know, be introspective. I got a lot of reading done, but there's something about, I mean, we talk all the time about how meditation is so beneficial to the brain. There's been many studies done on how really scientifically it can be shown how it helps the brain heal. It helps the brain grow. It helps with our managing our emotions. And so I think that's a wonderful message to just remind people to just take some time to just be quiet and still.
Right, and that's almost impossible for me. I'm very loud.
Self-care, give some self-care to the brain.
You've got
to
do it, Joe. You've got to do it.
I guarantee you. I'll say this. I will be completely silent the hours that I'm sleeping. Won't make any noise. Those I can guarantee. Those are the times.
I'm going to try to challenge him. We can do it.
I can do it for small patches of time.
We can do it at least half the day.
But I'm very boisterous and I'm very talkative. You know, I like that.
Are you telling me you're the only man in the world that doesn't snore, Joe?
Oh no! I'll say that, Mark. It used to be a lot worse. I had I had moderate to severe sleep apnea when I got home from the hospital, and I actually had a procedure. Which is weird. You know, a little punching bag in your throat, the uvula. I had that shaved down with a laser, which is crazy. Yeah. So
not
much
completely
fun.
Completely off, but they shaved some of it.
Yeah. You might
need to get more of it because your snoring has come back.
Yeah, I know. Like I'll get the nudge in the middle of the night. Joe, you're snoring. I'm like, oh my God, I'm sorry.
Well, you know, what's funny is actually his doctor wanted him to get that checked into because he's like, we don't want to cut off any oxygen to your brain.
The brain needs oxygen.
Yeah,
and when you have apnea, you're cutting off. You're not breathing. You're not, and that's not good for somebody. It's not good for anybody, but it's definitely not good for somebody whose brain is recovering. And like, I was a violent snorer.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I've gotten
it's better, but yeah, yeah.
So what are you guys focusing on on the future? I know you have You're on Mute that's coming up on the 18th. I'm not doing this off the top of my head, guys. I'm literally looking at my phone because I wrote down notes.
Joe wrote notes.
Also, October 3rd, you guys have a marathon.
Yes. So the London Marathon is going ahead on the 3rd of October. Mm-hmm. And as well as that, we're doing a virtual marathon, which is linked to the London Marathon. And anyone anywhere in the world can take part. And we have a few places left. So if anyone would like to run for us, you can also walk it. My parents are actually doing it and they're going to be walking it. So that's quite exciting. So yeah, if people want to sign
up.
We're
going to take part. We need to go make sure we sign up before those slots run.
Yeah, just maybe put it in the bio.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
We had there were some great stories. So because obviously of COVID this year, the marathon was cancelled in reality. But there were some great virtual marathons which were run. And Grace has got some good footage and some stories of people doing 26 miles on foot, on kayak, on horseback. It's been a brilliant compilation of how people have endeavored to do 26 miles.
That's amazing. Mm. That's really, really cool. Like, seriously, that's really cool. Hey, you know what? No matter what obstacles are in the way, especially in our community, you know, we find a way. Like, we find a way. We make do. That's what we do. We're survivors. We are
you know, we're brain injury rock stars. You guys are like brain injury rock star adjacent.
Yeah.
Like by association, right?
Yeah, we're not the real rock stars.
Thanks to our sponsor, Avid Technology, for providing us with the tools, or should I say pro tools, to record, edit, and mix our podcast and get our message out clearly to the world.
Try Avid first to start recording today for free at avid.com/pro-tools.
Yay.
Yay.
Yeah, that I think that's incredible. Is it just kayaking? Also, kayaking, that kind of scares me. I always feel like I would just turn over and drown. I'm not a big fan of water. I'm just not. Like, it's just not my
favorite thing. It was a very small stream. It wasn't proper open water.
So do you guys know?
It's been raining a lot.
No. Do you guys know what a neti pot is? So a neti pot is like, it's this little pot, and then
it's like a teapot.
It's like a teapot, and you fill it with like, it's a salt, like
saline. You make a saline solution,
and like you pour in one side of your nostril, and then it pours out of the other side of the nostril, and it cleans out all of your sinuses, right? I've never done it. Felice does it because it's great for her. I've never done it because I honestly feel like I'd be the first idiot in the world to drown doing a neti pot. I'm not a fan of water. I'm just not. I'm just really not. So we are the neuro nerds over here. So I do have to ask, what is your nerdom?
Okay, so
Mark's like, I don't want to go first.
My neuro nerds is classics, actually. So ancient Greek and Roman mythology.
Ooh. Nerd. That's the, you know what? I appreciate that because I'm a video game guy and I play God of War, and that's how I get all of my information when it comes to history, is specifically through God of War, the video game. That's how I understand all of Greek mythology. I just assume that Kratos is a god.
I can teach you as well.
You know what? Yeah, I will. We'll cross compare. I'll game and I'll say, hey, did this really happen? No, Joe, that's a video game.
I feel like you're going to enjoy the Eternals Marvel movie that's coming, because I feel, right, they're going to get into some Greek mythology.
They are, because they're eternal.
Yeah, they live forever.
Yeah, they've been around forever. So that's also Greek mythology. En Sabanur, it's a super deep nerdum.
What is that?
En Sabanur is actually Apocalypse, his real name. So the first mutant ever in X-Men. Is Apocalypse. And his name is En Sabanur. Mm-hmm. And he was been around since like the dawn of time. Anyways,
wasn't he Egyptian? Are you going to Egypt instead
of Greece? Yeah, but he bounced around. He's eternal.
Wait, and Greece, I think, I feel like pre-show you mentioned, don't you have like a some sort of Greek tattoo or some sort?
I do. So my kind of favorite part of, say, ancient Roman and Greek mythology are the goddesses. Because they're powerful, great women.
Yes.
Are great examples for all of us. And yeah, I've got a tattoo of Athena on my leg. And also, one of my best friends has just written a book, which is a retelling of Medusa.
Ooh, I love that.
And yeah, it kind of gives her a voice. And yeah, I would definitely recommend people to read that if they're into mythology.
What is it called, and what is your friend's name?
So it's called Medusa, and it's by Rosie Hewlett.
Nice. Okay. Well, you'll have to send us a link. We'll put that in the show notes so people can
see it. And also, we're going to need to see that tattoo, and we're going to post it when the episode releases, because that's amazing. And, how do I know about Medusa? God of War. No. Actually, as a kid, I don't know if you guys remember this, because I'm older than you, Grace, for sure, and I might be older than you, Mark. Who knows? Clash of the Titans.
No comment.
There was a movie, Clash of the Titans. Yeah. And I remember as a kid, Medusa was in Clash of the Titans. And I got to tell you, scared the living shit out of me. It was so frightening. But then as an adult, I got to learn the story of Medusa. It's actually fascinating. You know, she's not just evil, horrible person. No, she's just kind of a woman scorned.
That is very true. She's a victim overall. Yeah. But she's a powerful, amazing woman. So yeah,
she's a survivor.
She's like a survivor.
Broken brain injury survivor. I connected that.
You know, I kind of compare. I constantly compare my brain injury to Medusa all the time, so that makes sense, right?
Well, I mean, she's got a hair thing that's near her brain. No, it's not really.
No, not at all. Not at all. That's a stretch.
Not the same at all.
All right, Mark. What is your nerd, my friend?
Well, My Dodo, actually, there's a link to Roman and Greek civilization because My Dodo is wine. And we know how good the Romans and the Greeks were with their wine.
I'm with you, Mark.
So, you know, it's one of those things. I enjoy the product. It's infinitely versatile. It needs a lot of tasting. You're never sure you found the right one until you've pulled out the cork. So,
what's your favorite wine? Like, what kind?
I have to confess to some French heritage. So, given the choice, I'm going to France, and then I'm looking either into the clarets or into the burgundies.
I feel like that's such a British thing to say, that I have to confess to some French heritage. I have to confess to some French heritage as well. I have some, because I have a lot of Creole in my family, so there's a lot, and Joe has some French hair, so we're all in it together,
I
Mark.
Like, I have to confess to a scotch, and again, I'm using the word scotch, of French heritage. My last name is actually French. Ah. It's the pronunciation, I guess, is Bourget. I say Borges because it was like five greats. Great, 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 great grandfather was French, and then everybody since then has been Puerto Rican.
I think I've got some French heritage as well.
Hey, we're all who knew we're all connected in that
I
way?
I feel like we all have this story in Puerto Rico. I have a great, 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 some great grandfather that was like French as well.
See, and now we can all, when we all meet, we're going to have fries, onion soup, and toast, right?
And the glass of
all
wine.
The French
and the glass of wine.
You know,
and
you
a glass of wine.
You mentioned your favorite wine, right? I have my favorite, which is none, because it all tastes exactly the same. Sorry, I've made this argument a million times, and I'm very passionate about it. Yes, I have a gutter palate, but specifically when it comes to wine, it all tastes like rotten grape juice. It's this one's a little spicy rotten grape juice. And this is a smoother rotten grape juice, but there's no difference to me. And I have tried a very expensive bottle of wine. It was like $1,400 bottle of wine, which was completely wasted on my gutter palate. Where I tasted it, I was like, oh yeah, that's not too dissimilar from Two Buck Chuck from Trader Joe's. It's all the same to me.
It's
like,
and
I'll say this about now you can, I'm sure you've done the tastings and you do the hints of oak and pear. I gotta tell you, in my head immediately, like, that's not true. That's a lie.
It all tastes the same.
Exactly the same.
It's okay. Me and Mark will have the wine night.
I'm sorry. I was gonna say, after the second bottle, I'm with you. I can't taste it.
That's true.
And so, well, real quick story. Why I really don't like wine. I was introduced to it a very bad way. I was way too young to be running a store of the magnitude that I was running at the time. It's like 23, 24 years old. And they flew me out to Florida with all the other general managers. And they're like, okay, so there's this big giant company meeting. And I didn't know. I was just like this idiot. I was this, just younger. And I'm like, this like really fancy place. I'm at the dinner table with like head of HR and like one of the CEOs, and they come around with wine, and I'm like, oh, I don't really know. So I was like, red? Because I knew red food, like a red pasta sauce, you go with like a red wine. So I was like, yeah, I'm gonna do that. So she came and she just poured me this giant bottle or a glass of wine. I drank it and I'm like, oh my God, this is horrible. It was so bad that I tried to drink it really fast just to get rid of it. Every time I would drink, the woman would come back and she would just keep filling it.
Oh, no.
Again, I didn't realize I could say no. I didn't know. I was very, very young. So she kept filling it. I ended up drinking, I think it was like 3.5, maybe 4 glasses of wine in about 35 minutes.
Oh, no.
So I was very drunk at this very big corporate event, which was terrible. And then at the end, I see people, like, they'll tap the table and she'll stop pouring. And I was like, oh, I didn't know that. Then I started to think what my other colleagues thought I was. They probably thought I was just a raging alcoholic. And I'm just throwing back this wine like there's no more. So not a huge fan of wine, but I do appreciate that you appreciate wine like that.
It makes me very sad because I love wine, and so it can't enjoy it with me.
I will do the wine tasting because...
But he'll complain about it the whole time.
100%. I'm going to be 100% in. I'm going to say this is poison because it legitimately tastes like you're poisoning yourself. You know? But I'll do it. I'll do it for you.
That's kind.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
I'll destroy my liver and my taste buds and my brain cells specifically for you.
Oh, don't destroy the brain cells.
I've got like 8 left. It's cool. I got some backups. It's all good. You know, I can't say this enough, guys. I truly appreciate you. I say this
on behalf, as the brain injured part of our community, I say this on behalf of all the brain injured people out there. Thank you guys for doing what you do. I truly appreciate it. And you guys should just get all of the Greek mythology and wine you guys can take in, because you guys are amazing. You guys are actual real life superheroes. And I truly mean it when I say our community needs less of me and more of you, because you guys care and you do such a service for everybody out there. And I just appreciate so much of what you guys do.
That's really,
yeah, no, thank you so much. I think we both agree completely. You guys are also absolutely amazing and so happy to have you as an ambassador. So keep doing what you're doing as well.
Legend. Absolutely.
Definitely. Oh, continue. No, seriously. Keep saying amazing things about me. I feed off of this.
Don't do it.
My ego is big enough. It can hardly fit in this room. So, you know, I'm always sad that I'm not able to do these episodes with my tiny, beautiful, ass-kicking co-host. But everybody out there, you can reach out to her at Lauren Manzano on Instagram. You can reach out to Felice at Felice Lazay. F-E-L-I-C-E-L-A-Z-A-E. See, I did it for you.
Oh, thanks.
Because every time.
He always makes me spell it. They can't just read it somewhere. Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate it. Where can they find you?
They can find me at Joso Rocks on all the socials. You can reach out to
the Brain and Spine Foundation.
Brain and Spine Foundation.
At Brain and Spine. It's just at Brain and Spine, right? Yeah,
Yes, please.
You can reach out to Grace and annoy her about Greek mythology and say, hey, that tattoo is amazing. You should get one on your neck. And then convince Mark to get one on his neck, because that's going to be a great idea.
A bottle of wine.
Well, after a bottle of wine, a neck tattoo might sound like a great idea. So you can also reach out to the Neuro Nerds on all the socials.
At the Neuro Nerds.
Hey, and on that amazing coast, it's not even coast to coast, sea to sea. No, with this, truly appreciate
over the pond.
Good one. Over the pond. Note. I truly appreciate what you guys do for our community. Just so much love, care, and for everything you do. And I appreciate you guys for being on the show. And I look forward to doing this more often and making fun of rotten grape juice.
Can't wait.
on that tipsy note.
And on that awesome note, this Neuro Nerd is out.
Oh, I missed it to say it with you. We should have all said it together. Wait a minute. Let's try it together. Ready.
We're leaving all this in,
on
too.
On that note. We all have to say it together.
This Neuro Nerd and these Neuro Nerd adjacents are...
Out.
We did it.
All together.
That was the most awkward, amazing ending ever.
Thank you.
That was really cool.